It's still early morning. The sun is starting to rise over the horizon, and it's reddish. It reminds me of Srimati Radharani's tilak upon her beautiful broad forehead, and the glowing of the sun, the rays that it casts everywhere, just paints the village nearby and the field in front of me a golden color. There are flowers everywhere, and those flowers are growing in between the tall grasses, knee-high grasses, which sort of sway to one side and then another. It's like the way the Brijbasis sway under the winds of prema, their extraordinary love to Krishna. Sometimes they go in one direction, sometimes they bend in another direction. Sometimes they display extraordinary affection for Krishna. Sometimes they chastise him. Sometimes cowherd boys wrestle with Krishna. At other times they massage their feet. Sometimes the gopis throw Krishna smiles. At other times frowns from their arched eyebrows. And amongst this green swaying grass are different types of flowers, and I could see bees early in the morning flying from one flower to another flower, collecting honey. It seems that they never tire, just like Krishna always flies from one devotee to another, and wherever he can find even just a little honey-like affection, then he immediately collects that. Therefore, in the Gita, he says, "Yomi bhakti apriyachati." I don't know if you can hear the wind on the microphone. Jayadev Goswami says, "Dira shamira jamuna tira vanamali." That when Krishna felt the wonderful breeze blowing along the banks of the Jamuna, he was very much invigorated and thought about his wonderful pastimes with the gopis. This breeze is also very nice, cooling. It was a very hot day yesterday. The night was very pleasant, but there was no wind. But now the wind blows, and it brings remembrances of the winds that sweep across the Vrindavan landscape, bringing with them smells of different, or aromas of different wonderful flowers. Bailey, chameli, jui, these are mostly different types of jasmines, as well as the very small and fragrant drops of spray carried from the Jamuna River, which makes an extra cooling effect. And in the meantime, the birds are singing, some making like a staccato sound. I can hear the cooing of some doves not far away. This is like the sound of Cupid's bowstrings as it twangs, shooting his flower arrows, Pushpa Banaya Dimahi, either at Krishna or the gopis. And I heard some roosters before. There's one crowing right now in the distance. I don't know if you can hear it. Roosters also crow in the early morning in Vrindavan, and along with the singing birds, and even there's some dogs barking in the background. The sun is now shining through the leaves of the trees, just like it would do in Vrindavan. And with all of these, Udipan, Vrindadevi tries to convince Radha and Krishna that it's certainly time to rise. The villages of Vrindavan are coming back to life. The Brajbasis are rising early in the morning to go about their particular duties. They're going to start moving within the courtyards of their homes. They'll start moving along the paths that lead from one home to another, that lead from one village to another. And if Radha and Krishna don't rise very quickly from the rest that they've taken from their long nocturnal festival of dancing, singing, laughing, and wonderful pastimes, then certainly they'll be seen. And once the Brijbasis see them coming back to the village at the dead of night, they'll immediately, from the dead of night in the early morning, then immediately be suspicious. Ho ho, where has Krishna been at night? Where has Radha been coming back so red-eyed with her other gopi friends who also look equally disheveled and equally tired? And when Radha and Krishna hear these wonderful sounds of Vrindavan, they just become immersed in the beauty of that transcendental place. They feel the wonderful breezes that serve their body by caressing them, and the smells of the forest, the aroma of the flowers growing upon the vines. They hear amongst the cooing of the birds the light giggling of their gopi friends who are watching, waiting to see when they're going to quickly get up and go about their own ways. And our cooks have also begun to prepare breakfast. And just like the elderly gopis who rise early in the morning and begin to cook on their cow dung fires and make very wonderful rotis, which then are offered to their respective deities, so I can also smell the cooking in our portable kitchen. Srila Prabhupada taught us to see this material world as an impetus for remembering Krishna. Krishna is everywhere. He's within everything. In fact, every blade of grass, every leaf that rustles is chanting Hare Krishna, is glorifying Him. And if we utilize the process that Krishna has given us in the Bhagavad Gita, then we'll be able to see Krishna's majesty, Krishna's glory, His sweetness as well, and His pastimes in every aspect of this material world. After all, the material world is only illusion for those who want to forget Krishna, and therefore it covers them. But for those devotees who want to remember Krishna, then the material world is simply a bookmark that helps them continue from remembering one pastime to another, one aspect of Krishna's beauty or another. Just see the green. I'm sitting here underneath small trees with this meadow stretching out before me. And that color green is said to be very soothing to the eyes. Even non-devotees admit that green is the best thing for the eyes. But why is that so? Because if you take the golden complexion of Srimati Radharani and the bluish complexion of Lord Krishna, and what happens when blue and yellow meet, then they become green. So the meeting of Radha and Krishna is symbolized by this color green. And devotees take great happiness. They take the greatest happiness when they know that the divine couple are enjoying their pastimes together. And therefore, green always remembers, gives them that remembrance. Oh, now Srimati Radharani and Lord Krishna, they are meeting. And that meeting has turned the entire world green. I see green forests here, trees, everything is colored green, and therefore it's a reminder of the eternal loving exchange between Krishna and his devotees. For not only is Srimati Radharani's love golden, because of course that is the color of Mahabhav, but the color of Prema is also like that. So our attachment to Krishna, our love for Krishna, when it's offered to him, it will also increase the greenness of all things. And green, of course, means that things are growing very nicely. When things become burnt out, they turn brown, or when they die and they wilt. So similarly, if our thoughts are always green with remembrance of Krishna's pastimes, then that means we have a healthy state of Krishna consciousness, and it indicates that soon there will be many beautiful leaves of real attachment to Krishna developing, and from those leaves, or following those leaves, there will come very, very beautiful flowers of ecstasy and love for Krishna, and those flowers are very, very aromatic. They draw Krishna, who's like a bumblebee, to that devotee. And whereas bees usually take away the flower, and then the flower becomes bereft, but when Krishna comes and he touches, kisses, Srila Prabhupada uses the word, the flower-like devotees, then the devotees also begin to bear the fruits of rasa, or real relationship with Krishna. And once again, our eternal relationship, the mellow of friendship or parental or conjugal attraction for Krishna becomes manifest. And once again, we find ourselves in our eternal home, Goloka Vrindavan, in loving exchanges with Krishna. When rising in the morning, singing Mangal Artik, chanting on our beads, we should think, we should follow the train of thought that's inspired by the words of the prayers, by the sound of the Maha Mantra, by the vibration of Shukadev Goswami as he speaks Srimad Bhagavatam. All of these things are meant to lead us back to the pastures of Vrindavan. Thoughts of Krishna, Hare Krishna.